The Finding of Miss Sarah Gray's Manuscript, 1977. There had always been rumours about the eighth floor. According to the curator, John Wesley, the other librarians said there was something about it that made them uncomfortable. The braver of his colleagues who had ventured up there alone reported that shadows stalked its dusty stacks and secrets lingered in the air. The only way up, I learnt the day we met, was via a small lift the same size and shape as a telephone box. The librarians called it the coffin. I should say to begin with that before this, I was never inclined to take such stories literally, though I've always held a deep theoretical and private interest in matters of the peculiar. Tales of haunted libraries and similar legends have never represented anything more to me than fascinating insights into the way people think and form their beliefs. An appropriate subject for a university lecturer with a doctorate in psychology. It was late one miserable afternoon in October when I arrived at Paddington, weary and agitated from a delayed train journey from Oxford. I promptly made my way to Senate House Library in Bloomsbury, North London, stepping out briskly against the windy weather that snagged at my spirits, squinting into the rain and still clutching in my overcoat pocket the curious letter I had received on the preceding day from Mr. Wesley. Dr. Caxton, your assistance with an urgent matter is required. Come at once. I'm not at all the sort of man who responds quickly to such vague last-minute requests. My many commitments to the undergraduates, marking essays, preparing and giving lectures, simply wouldn't allow the indulgence of such distractions, and the fact that this note had been hand-delivered to my home address made me all the more suspicious that someone was having a game with me. A disaffected student, perhaps, or a freshman put up to the joke by his friends. That was certainly the opinion of my wife, Julia. But then a familiar name within the letter made me think there was probably more to the mystery than a mere prank. And I was right. Turning onto the slippery cobbles of Mallet Street, I paused for some moments at the entrance to Senate House, admiring with quiet appreciation its notorious architectural character, an enormous tower of glittering Portland stone in the heart of London. It looked serene, dignified. Though, of course, I regard the place somewhat differently now. Once inside, glad of the refuge from the raw afternoon, I hastily sought out Miss Christine Eastoe, head of historic collections, whom the letter had instructed me to ask for, and was instructed to wait by a young receptionist. I did so, wiping my spectacles clean and taking my place on a small bench at the end of a vast marble-floored corridor, alone. I was hardly surprised by the emptiness of the library. It was the end of term and most of the students would have left for the holidays. Nonetheless, just then I felt... what was it? Uneasy? Unsettled? And I was aware suddenly of an uncomfortable chill.
Robert Caxton?
The sharp voice made me turn to see a neat, precise-looking woman with a beehive of white hair.
You're late,
she said impatiently, ignoring my proffered hand.
Now then, if you would care to follow me?
I waited with Miss Christine Eastoe in uncomfortable silence at the door to the rickety old elevator which was to take me up. It was her name I had recognised in Wesley's note. Although I didn't care for her cold manner, I had dealt with her, years earlier, on a bespoke research project concerned with the religious revival of 1903, and she had impressed me by her diligent attention to detail. I wasn't sure if she recognised me now. I hoped she didn't. Eventually, she said in a taut voice,
"You know, there's an old story that in July 1929, the principal of the University of London, Sir Edwin Deller, fell to his death in this lift shaft."
"What an awful tale," I remarked. "How did he fall?"
"When they were constructing the Senate House Tower, apparently. A skip fell from the top and struck him. Some of the librarians here think that's why it's so cold on the eighth floor."
"Do you believe the story?"
"Not a word. John does, of course, but then..."
The corners of her mouth twitched.
"He'd believe anything."
"Where is Mr. Wesley?"